killing just a little bit of time waiting on a drummer to come. He's here. He was at practice. He's here somewhere now. But he's doing what?
Wrangling youth.
He may not be here then. So can anybody out there play the drums? Just kid Penny. Oh, thought you was coming to play the drums. Here he comes. Big applause for the guy. The drummer man. Not only drumming, play about anything else.
Hey, what now?
You can play about anything, can't you?
Oh, I try. Not the violin or the trumpet or nothing like that.
Yeah, but you play, I haven't heard you play all them other instruments.
Oh, well.
Good. And you're doing great with the youth.
Oh, I'm trying.
You're doing awesome.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for what you're doing up there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh. Thank you back.
You're very welcome. All right. I'm glad.
Kudos also to our ladies ministry. If you haven't seen our new reception area in the office building, you need to look at it. There's a group of ladies that is constantly raising funds here and normally channeling it right into the to the church and so special things. And thank you, thank you, thank you for what you do. And thank you for being here. So let's stand up, get ready to worship the Lord, get ready to come to the banquet. I said get ready to come to the banquet. We don't go to church. We go to a banquet. It's a banquet every Sunday morning. That's what he said. Go out there and compel them to come in that my house may be filled, because we're going to have a party. We're going to start in right now. Right now. Say right now. We're going to have a party. Let's do it.
The grave. for your presence and your spirit. And thank you for leading us into places some people wouldn't understand. And thank you for your peace that passes all understanding on the way there and when we get there. And thank you for taking us further and further. God, we love you and we praise you. You are so mighty and so wonderful. Become more aware of your presence.
Is failing me, but I know it in my heart. And his word says to not fear. And it says, because he's our fortress, he's our shield. Those are two verses merged together, by the way. But in all things that we fear and we struggle with, he's our shield, he's our fortress. He is that thing that we rely on, that we call to, that never fails, that is constant, that never breaks. He's our foundation. We can stand on him with the wind and the waves as they crash around us, as the pain is so real around us, the anxieties of the world and today. He's our shield. He's our fortress. He is who we rely on. He doesn't falter. He is constant. He is love, and he is our peace. Oh, he's such a good God, yeah? Oh, he's so good. I feel so unworthy all the time of that grace, of that love, of that fortress and that shield. But he made me worthy. He said, I'm precious. He said, I am worthy. I'm lovely. I'm all these things. And God gave me a wonderful husband to remind me of that all the time, of how beautiful I am, how lovely and precious I am. And I'm just so grateful. Even on those days I don't feel worthy enough, he reminds me that I am. And he is in me.
Even when my strength is lost, I'll pray. My eyes are
made a way for me. How can it not be well? How could anything not be well with you? Thank you for your peace and your presence. Love you. I love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad you came? Three of you are. Going to ask a beautiful family to be coming, Ray and Tiffany, and dedicate their little girl and whomever else is going to come with them. see, we need a section right over here to have a baby dedication next week. Right in there. Somebody have a baby. Good gracious. All right. Where are you? There you are. My. You know, Tiffany, your dad always loved the King James Version Bible. He always wanted me to preach out of King James, quote King James. And so I'm going to read this favorite passage of mine for baby dedications out of the King James Version. And in honor of him and in honor of my dad, he gave me this Bible 40 years ago. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, and in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was not none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them. And even though he's not here, he saw her before you did. And it is my privilege to get behind you and get this and ask my daughter to come and hold this mic. And don't wake up. Whoa. Where are you? There you are. Oh, my goodness. Is she under all this? Bless your heart. I christen thee and dedicate you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I lift you, if I can find you, I lift you up to the Lord. And Carson means Christian. And she's looking at me. Ray means grace. And so you're going to be raised as a Christian with all full of grace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I got you. She is beautiful. Thank you. Don't go anywhere. I got something for you, okay? Everybody just hang tight. Yeah, thanks. First of all, this is just a book of prayers and her certificate. But I have one other gift. We have a man in our church who does this, and I like this. I don't. We're going to give one of these to a family or a person for the rest of the year every Sunday. And of course, our theme this year has been being who God says we are. And he's got the scripture, Acts 17:28. In him we live and move and have our being. And I am who God says I am on it. This, if you go and find it in the woods, it's pretty ugly. It's got these vines wrapped around it, and it's just kind of gnarly looking. But when you take it out, it becomes something beautiful like this. And her life's going to be like that. Going to be a lot of things going to wrap around her. But as you raise her in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's always going to work out beautifully. And what things come to her is only going to make her better. But all things work together for good to them who love God and call according to his purpose. And so, bless you. And I want to bless this lady right here for a moment. You might not know this lady, but she has 20-something grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. And I've known her since I've been in the ministry. And she goes to a Congregational Holiness Church. And she has been a prayer warrior in this city for years and years and years. And all of these people are here because of her, and her family is believers because of her. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, dude. Y'all come back, okay? All right. I'm going to introduce to somebody. Before I do, Dusty's coming to minister this morning. But I want to say something before she comes. Oh, just hang right here with me for a moment. I'm in a grateful mood this morning. Can you tell? Just want to thank everybody. But I want to tell you, Dusty, why I love you. Not because you can preach. I love you because of the daughter that you've been to your mother and I. And the mother you are to your children, the wife you are to your husband, and the friend you are to your friends. And you live out relationships. I'm more proud of that of you than anything in the world. If you get up here and fall flat on your face, I'm more proud of you than anything in the world. Thank you that I was not able to break that will when you was a little girl, because that will has turned out to be something really strong in your life, that you will to do the will of God. And I love you.
Love you. Well, I hope I don't fall flat on my face. Dad was talking about the banquet table. And that this is a banquet, this is a party. And I just started thinking, I don't want to leave this party. I don't want to leave this party. We're going to leave this party today. Don't worry, we're not going to go too far into your lunch order, into your lunch hour. But I want to read to you, I want to open up, and I want to read to you about a party. And this was a wedding party. And it's in, you know the story, and I want to get to the point in a minute, so bear with me. It says, the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, that's not our problem, Jesus replied. Don't talk to your mama like that. He said, my time has not yet come. His mom totally ignored this statement. His mom just told the servants and said, do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of the ceremonies. That's the master of the party. So the servants followed his instructions. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first. But then everyone had a lot, then when everyone has had a lot to drink, then he brings out the less expensive wine. But he says, but you have saved the best for now. And as I started thinking about this whole series, this being, and we've taken five words that make up an acronym called GRASP, to grasp on to this being, giving, renewing, attending, serving, and praying, that what more can we say? What more can we do? And then the Spirit just revealed to me, you know what? We're closing out this year. We have just a few more weeks. And you know what? He's saving his best for last. What you thought this year started meaning to you and started working in your life and started pouring out, flowing into you, he's saying, I'm saving this best. So this Eagles Way, we are closing out this year with the best. with the best. Today I'm going to be sharing on attending, and I looked up the word attending, and it means to pay attention to listen to apply one's mind and apply one's energies to. That's attending. And today I'm going to be talking to you about attending to the things that matter the most. You see, we can allow ourselves to attend to things that are temporal, that don't matter, and it distracts us from attending to the things that matter the most. Ephesians says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Be careful how you live. A couple of weeks ago, John Henry came home, and I know an 88 is a good grade. I get it. I don't need any parents telling me I'm a terrible mom. I already had Chris and Anna, everybody correcting me. So made an 88, but he had the opportunity to make corrections to this lab report to get an A. Well, my thoughts are, dude, get an A. Take the time to do it. And I kind of started focusing in on what he was not attending to. And Chris says to me, what makes you think he didn't make a better decision to attend to something better for his life in that moment? And I was like, stop it, Chris. Stop being right. I don't need you to be right all the time. But you see, we do that often ourselves. There's so many distractions in the world to get us attending to things that don't matter. But this is what Paul says he wants us to attend to. Are you ready? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. He wants you to attend to your spirit, your soul, and your body. See, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a what? You live in a body. And so we're going to talk about this morning attending to those three things, what those three things are, and how you attend to it. And the first thing he talks about is your spirit. Your spirit is the real you. It's not what you think you are. It's not what somebody says you are. It's not what you feel you are. It is not your past. It's not what you do. It's not how you walk. It's not how you talk. Your spirit is the real you. Romans says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. And listen, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are his children. His spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we belong to him. And then it says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. You see, this entitles you to everything God is and everything he has. This entitles you to everything he is. So you get to look in the mirror, and you look in the mirror, and you look at the real you and say, I like you. I like your personality. No, we're all different. Aren't you glad we're all different? Don't not like yourself because you're different from somebody. Look in the mirror, I look in the mirror and I say, I like you. I like your loud laugh. I like your funny sense of humor. I like you. I like, because that's the real you. And when you get a revelation of what it means for his spirit to be joined with your spirit. And it's like Bobby Joe was saying, sometimes I don't feel worthy. And then he reminds me, you are worthy. That you can look in the mirror and say, I am the righteousness of God, born again, set apart, and made holy, and he has taught me to love myself. You see, understanding that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, understanding that you can look in the mirror and say, how marvelous are your works, then you are able to love yourself. And when you are able to love yourself because you have this realization that the real me is his spirit joined with my spirit, that's who I am, that's who you are, then you can love people. Then you can be in relationship with people with a greater understanding because you know that you're entitled to everything he is and everything he has. You see, it's in our spirit that we have meaning and purpose in our life. It's at the deepest level that our spirit gives us meaning and purpose and enables us to love ourselves, to commune with God, and to love one another. And so it is important that we attend to our spirit. And how do we attend? How do we take care of the real you, of that revelation? How do we take care of our spirit? It's that we feed it. We feed it. Whatever you feed will grow. I've got a teenage boy. Whatever you feed will grow. Whatever you starve will die. I have to. So what do I feed my spirit? Isaiah says, she will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And by the time this child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong, he will be eating what? Yogurt and honey. This is talking about Jesus. He will be eating yogurt and honey. You see, yogurt and honey, they're rich symbols of God's word. What did Jesus feed himself? He fed himself himself. Jesus fed himself himself. His word. He didn't feed himself negativity. He didn't feed himself bitterness. He didn't feed himself judgmentalism. He only fed himself himself. Everything he was. The other day I came into the house, and I don't know if y'all been on Facebook this week, it has not been pretty. And I go in and I show mom, like, Mom, this is awful. Read this. She says, stop it. Don't look at it. Don't read it. She was telling me, stop feeding yourself that. And I said, okay. What else do you tell Barbara, your mama? Okay. When my kids were little, my big kids were little, I used to always tell them, what goes in the well comes up in the bucket. And Anna's a joy, and she's my hilarious child. I changed clothes because of her this morning because she told me, I asked her how my shirt looked, and she said, well, I said, my shirt look okay? She says, no, go change. Don't look like a pirate when you preach. Look like a pirate another day. So I changed clothes. Anyway, and so she's really a lot easier to raise now. She's still hilarious. She's fun. But she was a hard to raise. Like those years leading up to now. And very strong-willed, we just thought for sure for a while she's going to be an attorney, she's going to something. And I can remember she would want to, like, watch this movie or watch the TV show, and at the time she wasn't allowed, and she's like, it's just a little bad. It's just a little bad. And I would say, Anna, when I make these chocolate chip oatmeal cookies that you like from a bag, but it doesn't matter, Jenny, it's still magic. And I said, what if I took a little bit of Brew's our dog, a little bit of his poop, and I just stuck it in the mix, just a little. She's like, oh my God, Mom, that is so gross. And I'm like, that's what happens when we take in that we feed our spirits a little bad that it doesn't really matter. His spirit has joined with you and your spirit and everything you have. See, this is where you grow your spirit no longer. And I want you to hear this, and it's been said before, but I want to say it again. Stop saying, I'm growing in Christ. You start saying, Christ is growing in me. And the more you feed it, the bigger it gets, the more it expands. So how do you feed your spirit? You feed it with prayer. You see, when you pray, you actually release your ego. You release everything that you think, and you start connecting with the spirit into the way he thinks and the way you're supposed to think. You feed your spirit with God's word. He says, meditate on his words. One scripture says, hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, what that's saying is that I might not sin against who you've said I am, that I might not believe something other than what you said that I am. Hide your word in my heart that I might not think anything differently than I am his, joined with him. Surround yourself. Feed your spirit with the right people. Get quiet. The other day I went to Friday. I was already studying this and meditating on this, and I went to Mary's yoga class, and at the end, Mary does this really awesome thing where you get quiet and you meditate, and she's so gifted to speak positive affirmations and encouraging words. And normally I listen to her, but she was just kind of this ambient noise in the background, because all I kept thinking and meditating on was, God, your spirit's joined with my spirit. And Jennifer was there with me, and I got up and I'm just flooding with tears at the realization of what that means. And so I encourage you this week to look in the mirror and say, God, your spirit, it's joined with mine. That's the real me. Meditate on it, meditate on it, meditate on it. Let it become so real to you. Read things that encourage you. Do things that, what Ralph says, unlocks the kingdom inside of you. Because whatever inspires you, strengthens you. And continually be thankful. You see, when we do this, when we keep connected to our spirits, we're able to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We know what right decisions to make. We know where we need to go. And then, you see, our mind it needs time to understand what our spirit already knows. And you see, your mind is your soul. And Job, in the middle of, y'all know the story of Job, it's not even a fun book to read, but I love this verse in Job 32:8. He says, but it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. How did Job get through this really difficult time? Because he knew that it was the spirit of a man that's going to give him understanding and remind him of who he is. We have to attend to our spirit. We attend to our soul. In Genesis, it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then man became a living soul. This is why my dad always tells me, and he'll tell you, that don't forget your children are living souls. This is why Big Mama says, don't yell at your kids, you'll just make them mad. But treat them as living souls. You see, the soul's the part of us that has to be renewed. The soul's the part of us where we say, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our souls has to be restored sometimes. That's why it says, he restores my soul. Our soul's the part of us that gives us our personality. It's where we function with our will and with our emotions. It is our souls what we have to work on to make sure it reflects what's inside the spirit. It's where we make our decisions. It's where we decide, are we going to yield to our flesh and to these untruths, or are we going to yield to the spirit and who we are. That's why the writer in Proverbs, he says, guard your heart above all else, because it determines the course of your life. Everything we do flows from it. So guard your heart. Guard your soul. That's what he's saying. Guard your soul. And the scripture that we quote so often, how do you feed your soul? You feed it. And in Philippians, it says, when Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is praiseworthy, think about these things, because you see, an unfocused mind will mess up your soul. An unfocused mind will mess up your world. Fix your thoughts. What you nurture will manifest. What your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thought. So let your strongest thought be what's right, what's good, what's holy, who you are. For as a man thinks in his heart, what? So is he. Fix your thoughts. Forgive quickly. Keep your soul cleansed by forgiving quickly. Don't dwell on things that people have done wrong to you. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Don't dwell on it. You give power to it. You give energy to it. Forgive. Let it go. You see, our spirit and our soul creates our energy. Somebody ever walk into a room, you're like, man, they got good vibes, man. Or, you know, sometimes you're like, duh, not so good vibes. Our spirit and our soul, that's what creates our energy. It's what creates what people feel when they're with us. So when we attend to our spirit and our soul, then we're able to function in our body the way God intended to function in our body, then he can pour out himself. You see what the body does? It's how we pour all of this out. Your body. 1 Corinthians says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor him with what you say, with what you do, with how you live. You must honor him with your body. And then in Ephesians, it says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his what? The church is his body, and it is made full and it is complete by Christ, who fills everything with himself. Isn't that so good? He fills everything with himself. You see, our body is an expression to everybody, to everything going on inside of us. Don't you know when somebody's not happy, they've had a bad day, and they walk into a room, don't you know something's wrong? Don't you like, you okay? Because the body expressions I'm getting makes me feel like your spouse knows when something's wrong more than anybody knows something's wrong, right? Right, you don't have to amen everything. But Dad said something the other week, and I love it. I say it all the time now, and you're probably going to hear me saying it all the time, because I say it all the time. But he said, we carry his presence everywhere we go. We carry his presence everywhere we go. That awareness has just awakened me to make sure that what's inside here is right. You see, God himself didn't choose to dwell in our bodies so we can feel good about ourselves. Even though he wants us to. He wants you to. He wants you to love yourself. He didn't choose to dwell in our bodies so we can come to church once a month, wear our t-shirts that say, hey, I'm positive. He didn't choose to come dwell within us so his love can stay right here. He chose to dwell in us because he chose to use us to pour himself out. To pour himself out. You see, anything that stays still, that doesn't flow, becomes stagnant and it stinks. Anything that does not flow becomes stagnant. So be a river, don't be a swamp. Be a river. Let it flow. It has to flow out in the relationships in our home with our spouse. It has to flow out in my relationships with my children. It has to flow out in my relationship with you. It has to, when I leave this building and I come across and see people, I don't even know who they are and they don't know me, but it needs to flow out because I'm realizing that I'm carrying him with me. You see, Jesus made a new way for us to live with each other. Back in the Old Testament, they would carry around the Ark of the Covenant everywhere they went, on carts and oxen, and they would carry it around because that was the presence of God. Here he is. Here he is, right there. But you see, when Jesus came, he became God in the flesh, and he says, now you are gonna carry God in the flesh everywhere you go. So we are now those priests who carry him. And he says, guess what? You get to live with each other in a brand new way. It's going to be good. It's going to be joyous. And you know what? He says, I want you be generous with each other. Be gentle with each other. The scripture says, live in harmony with each other and don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. I catch my breath. And don't think you know it all. A lot of people know it all on Facebook this week. I won't stay on that. Dad said, don't talk about it. I won't, Dad. You do a lot of things that we tell you not to do. Just for the record, don't think you know it all. About a week ago, 2 weeks ago, every once in a while we'll do a family meeting. It's kind of a let's regroup, let's just talk about where we are. We use it as a time to encourage the kids. They use it as a time to kind of tell us where they are. And they're really, really treasured moments. And this past family meeting, Chris had the bright idea to give the big kids, not Jet, this is John and Anna, give the big kids a piece of paper and say, I want you to write three things down about mom and three things down about me that you feel like we're doing well, like we've got this parenting thing down here. And then I want you to write three things down about mom and three things down about me you'd like to see us do differently. And here's the deal. We're not going to question it. We're not even going to defend ourselves. Mom and I are going to take it to the bedroom and we're going to look over it. You know what we're going to do? We're going to make changes because we know we don't know it all. And I'm like, okay. So everything's going well. They take their time. And John Henry says, can I just tell you? Because, you know, dudes don't want to write. And Chris says, no, write it and let Mom and I go look at it. So family meeting ends. We get on about our business. And then I'm in our bedroom, and Chris comes in, and I said, hey, where's our notes? I said, you read them? He says, I did. I said, can I read it? And he said, we were heading to Mom and Dad's after this. So wait to get your mom and dad's house. Maybe sit on the deck in the rocking chair with your dad or something. Be surrounded by you, your safe place. And then I'm going to let you read it. I'm like, why are you coming? Give them to me now. Let me read. And so I started reading. But here's the thing. One of the things John Henry told me, he says, don't look at me like I'm a boy. That's one of the things he wanted me, and that's me being real vulnerable with you. Don't look at me. You see, the eyes reflect what's going in inside right here. The eyes reflect the soul. And how we look at people, how we respond to them reflects what's going on. How you carry your body is very telling of the condition of your spirit and your soul. How you carry yourself means everything in life. It means everything. Your laughter tells where you are. Your tears tell where you are. Your smile tells where you are. Being able to soften your countenance tells where you are. It tells my kids if I'm approachable. It tells my kids if they need to be scared. It does. I remember Jet used to spill something or do something, and I can remember, like, Jet, why? And he'd be like, I don't want to, you know. And then he got to where, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I'm like, what am I expressing to him? What is my body telling him? So you know what I started doing? Sorry. I got that one down, Dad. I don't freak out over that stuff anymore. I have learned to don't sweat that kind of small stuff. And Anna, she couldn't just think of three things. She had to think of four things. And actually, the fourth one starts out, sorry, Mom, got one more. And for the record, they each had one thing for Chris. Just one. You know what they wanted? We just want more time with you, Daddy. Like, that's it. Seriously. Johnny's like, I would love for us to do some more, you know, father-son things. Anna's like, Dad, I just want to spend more time with you because you're the fun face, the perfect. And then, like, Mom, sorry, the fourth. Anna says, I appreciate how you manage everything. See, she's learned that from me. Always lead into something with a compliment. I appreciate how you manage everything, but chill out, son. All caps, chill out. See, if we don't attend to our spirit and soul, do you know what our expression is going to be? It's going to be stress. It's going to be worry. It's going to be everything that he has designed for us to not, in a way, to not live. See what my parenting body was doing? You see? But it's because Chris had the wherewithal to know, Mom and I don't know it all. And we want our bodies to be an expression of loving you well. Dad always says, oftentimes we major in the minors. And we minor in the majors. We focus on things that are really insignificant in the grand scheme of things. Live in harmony with each other. Be gentle with your words. Our bodies, when our spirit and our soul's right, we're able to be gentle. See, our tongue brings life and it brings death. That's why the scripture says, let everything you say be good and helpful. And I love this where it says, if you think something good, what do? Say it. Because kind words are like honey. It feeds. That's how God's love pours out. You see, this is your holy call. This is what it means to carry him with you. John says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. To love each other just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Now listen, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another will show to the world that you belong to him. It is not what you, in anything else, it is not in your opinions, it is not in this or it's not in that. Your love, how you love people, will show to them that you belong to him. And this is how they will know you are carrying them. You see, 1 Corinthians says, if we just speak in tongues of men but have not love or just a loud noise, nothing else you do is going to matter. Nothing else you say to your kids is going to matter if you're not first and foremost pouring out love, pouring it out by saying things like, may the Lord bless and keep you. Don't just tell him, go clean your room, go do this, go do that. May the Lord bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May his favor rest wherever you go. You see, I want to be a body that's walking around. We already are full of his spirit because the spirit's in us, right? It's connected to us. We're already full of it. That means we're full of what? We're full of love. And I want to be a walking body walking around just oozing out his love. I want to be better at it. I want to be better at it. Romans says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, and Kitty, you can be coming. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you, and let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Think about that word. Let your body be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable, because this is the true way to worship him. I give Dad a hard time sometimes because he gives me a hard time. But one of the things I've watched my parents do so well is live this scripture out. There are times I'll walk into their house and I think, why don't y'all fix this? Or let's update that. Or let's redo this room. Or let's redo that. And I think that these outward stuff that I want to see them working on. But they've chosen to sacrifice those things that I think are important sometimes and invest into the people who walk in there. That's the banquet table. And you know, people who walk into their house and eat their food, real food, spiritual food, the goodness, and we sit on that deck. People have left there with their souls renewed, refreshed. People have left there with their marriages healed. People have left there with a mother and daughter relationship restored. People have left there given to who didn't have anything, couldn't even feed their families. And I've watched people leave there with enough money to go feed them. I've watched people leave their house because they got the scripture that my body does not belong to me, but it belongs to you. And to be a living, breathing, walking, just river of love that flows. That's their holy sacrifice. Let's close this thing out. Revelations 21 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, is gone. The way we used to commune with each other, the way we used to do life with each other, the way it was before Christ, it's gone. Because he made a different way. And it says, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, the new way, this right here, coming down from God. It's not going up. It's coming down from heaven. It's right here. Like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. That's you. His home is here. It's in you. And he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. God himself is here because you're here. and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow or crying and pain. All these things are gone forever because you are allowing God to work through you and be the healing balm and heal the broken hearts and lift the oppressed and say, God has made a way where there is no way. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you that you're worthy. Let me tell you that he's made you righteous, that he has set you apart, and that he says you are mine. And let me tell you that you're entitled to everything he is and everything he does and everything he has. That's for you. And then the one sitting on the throne says, look, I'm making everything new. I'm doing a new thing. I want to do a new thing today. I want a new thing tomorrow. Next year at Eagles Way Church, he's going to do a new thing. He's going to keep doing a new thing because he's the God about new things. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get stagnant. It doesn't get smelly. It gets better and better and better. And then he said to me, write this down. For what I tell you is true. He's backing it up. He's saying, write it down. Write it on your heart. Know it, believe it, walk it, write it down, and know that my home is with you. This is how the church carries him. This is how they know him. 1 John says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other and God lives in us, then his love is brought, listen, his love is brought to full expression. Remember that scripture says, no one can grasp how wide, how deep, how high, how low, how everything God's love is. But it says when we love, his love is brought to not a little bit of expression, not this much, but to full expression. You see, God was never visible to anyone until Jesus brought him into full view. God wasn't visible. People couldn't see him until Jesus brought him into full view. And when we love people, we do the very same thing. Amen? Let's come do this. All right. I love y'all. You guys are awesome. I'm excited. The best wine's coming. The best wine is coming.
Second Sunday of each month, we have what we call the Sacrament of Healing. I'm so glad that we saw that years ago as what it really is. You see, that scripture in Revelation is an ongoing revelation. He's always wiping away the tears. He's always healing the brokenhearted. He's always making things new. See, that word new in the Greek in Revelation 21 is not brand new, it never existed. It's renew. He's taking something and making it better. Aren't you glad he's always making it better? Aren't you glad that you can always look forward to things? So as you stand with me this morning, if you're here today, it's in your spirit or your soul or your body, as the eldership is coming to stand, and these people are going to be coming up here standing with me, have something very special to impart to you. And when they pray for you, it's not just a prayer of asking God to do this or that. It's a literal, because they have God in them, they express God as they impart to you what you need today. So if you have any need whatsoever in your spirit, your soul, or your body, and you would like to see this God that we've talked about today flow through you and do what only he can do, just come and stand across this front, and I assure you something good is going to be imparted into your life through just letting God be God in our midst.
You may be seated. If you have your connection card filled out, Wonderful. If you have not, you've got just a couple of seconds to get that done. A lot of important information is on that card. The biggest piece is if we're trying to make sure we have enough food Wednesday evening at our Thanksgiving meal. And we would like for you to put on there how many you might have coming. Guys, don't let me forget, when I dismiss, I need to stack all of the chairs in here in stacks of eight. So if you will help me with that, that would be incredible. You're not going to want to miss this Wednesday night. The family that was here for the baby dedication, that's one of the families that's going to be dueling it out. They're going against the Phillip Langston Kendrick family. So you'll want to be here for that. It's going to be awesome. Bring your gift with you. Whatever you want to give, you're giving to help those in a time of need here at Christmas time. The funds are going to goes into the alms account, which helps those in a time of need within the house and then outside. We are providing gifts for 67 children from the prison fellowship ministry. We have a space out there where you can bring in soap and razors. All of that is going to Rushton Hope for this year. So lots of things that you can be doing with that. So lots of information on there. Rushton Hope, those of you that normally work Rushton Hope, and those of you that were planning to do it this month for your first time, just want to make sure you don't show up because they are shut down for that particular Saturday. They will not be providing a meal in November, but they will start back up in December. So we will be there on the third Saturday of each month. EWC Kids Got Talent auditions are today at 2 o'clock. So this is any audition. They will be doing their performance on December 11th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This will be our Angel Tree party time. So all the parents and grandparents and everybody will show up, and our those that were assisting with the Angel Tree will be here for the EWC Kids Got Talent at 3 o'clock on that Sunday. But today are the auditions. If your child wasn't prepared for an audition today, but is interested, has a talent, can juggle, can sing, can play, can tap dance, whatever it may be, they want them to come and be a part of that. So that is 2 o'clock today, and they need to be in the youth building. And make sure I didn't forget anything. I think I got there. The turkeys, that's very important information. Thank you. There is a ladies' meeting directly after the service, so if you would like to meet, they're going to be in the small conference room of the youth building. Normally, we have 15 turkeys that we are supposed to cook for the poor and needy on the Thanksgiving day. They called and said, we've had so many people ask for turkeys, and your church already does so much. Is it okay if we take your 15 turkeys away from you? I said, not a problem. So if you signed up to cook a turkey on Thanksgiving week, you no longer need to. They have plenty, and they're handling that. So the 10 of you that have said you would cook a turkey for our Thanksgiving meal this week, it is available to you in the conference or the Continental Breakfast area to pick up this morning. So I thank you for that. And I think I've covered just about all the information. I've drug it down long enough, haven't I, David? David gets on to me. So if you would stand, our ushers, go ahead. You should have come on this way. Whenever I start talking, you start walking. And as they pass that out, drop your connection cards in there. If you're visiting for the first time, thank you for being here. We have a gift for you. You can stop just as you're going by. They'll be sitting on the information booth out there. Grab one of those. There will also be a note in it to you. And we're going to pray over this offering. And then after I pray, you will be dismissed. Father, Lord, we thank you that we get to come to the house of the Lord, that we're afforded that opportunity each and every week. The banquet table, Lord, has been set, Lord. We partook and ate. Lord, allow it to digest and strengthen us to go and share with people in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.